from Northern Poland.
Welcome to the GCN show.
What do we want? The GCN show. When do we want it? Now.
I don't know what to do after that.
Hey, you weren't expecting that, were you?
No, I wasn't. Not at all. Right, coming up, after Dan got body shamed for looking weak and weedy.
Thank you, Si.
Don't mention it, mate. We're asking if a cyclist's body is actually a healthy body. Plus, kilometres, he still set the fastest time up the final climb of the day.
The fear tactics we employed last week, Si, actually kicked Killian into action, where there seemed to be a lot of people that were shocked. Bike theft was down by 15% in the UK last year.
Woo, that is great, isn't it?
It is great, unless you own an e-bike.
Which actually describes you as a stud.
Yes.
All right. Have your nipples made up yet, by the way?
God. This week, in the world of cycling, we learnt that Killian Kelly has fixed the uploader.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Pretty good singing.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, cheers.
So it turns out that the fear tactics we employed last week, Si, actually kicked Killian into action.
Yeah, did you threaten to take your top off as well? Did he just...
No, I just used very old-fashioned, stern, quite a threatening voice, basically.
I'm not angry, Killian. I'm just disappointed.
Our uploader has unfortunately fallen over again.
Killian Kelly.
Is the uploader working? We've got a slight technical glitch with the uploader. He's doing everything but his actual job at the moment.
Killian Kelly. GCN uploader, the trusty old uploader, is still down.
Killian, just fix the uploader.
He must have been quaking in his boots, was, quite frankly, anyway. But still, it does mean that you lot can now upload all of the hacks and bodges that you have been busy storing up for the last few weeks.
We also learned this week that Fox News have ventured into bike reviews, including our favourite Amazon special, the Eurobike. So apparently, riders who compete in races will appreciate this bike since it's built with professional competition-grade geometry, making it more ergonomic.
There you go. That might take a while to convince Tadej Pogacar, but he would probably still be pretty quick on one. As we learned on Sunday at Liège-Bastogne-Liège, he's in a class of his own, quite frankly, isn't he? Even after he'd been solo for over 20 kilometres, he still set the fastest time up the final climb of the day.
Crazy, yeah. Isn't it, really? We also learned that we all need a Bee Turtle micro caravan from Gentle Tent for our next bikepacking adventure. Tow it behind your bike and swiftly unfold and inflate your tent when you need a rest. Right, I'm sure you're all waiting to hear what Si and I were discussing at the coffee machine earlier on this morning.
Cyclist bodies.
As you do. Not in a perverted way, we hasten to state. Basically, off the back of some of the... well, the messages and comments that I got from my Journey to Health video, where there seemed to be a lot of people that were shocked at the state of a cyclist's body.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, that yours is like a cyclist's body that has just gone wrong at this point, isn't it?
In need of a service or two, isn't it? Wait until the thumbnail that I'm going to use in 6 months' time. I'm already on it. You're going to be eating your words when you see that.
Well, it will be nice to actually eat something again, because I have been struggling to keep anything down since the first thumbnail.
Should we get back onto the topic?
Yes, we should, and we're only joking.
Yep. We are joking, yes. So we actually had a serious chat, didn't we, next to the coffee machine, about whether a cyclist's body is actually healthy, and specifically, I guess, that of a pro cyclist, which, as we all know, can look almost shockingly skinny.
Yeah, so we've done a bit of research, haven't we, mate? We'll start with the argument for why a cyclist's body is healthy.
Yeah, so number one, cardiovascular health, which is an obvious one, but it's one of the primary reasons, I think, that a lot of us ride a bike to keep our hearts healthy.
Yeah, now we won't go through all the studies, but safe to say, there are thousands of them out there that prove that cycling is good for your heart. But is there a tipping point? As in, if you do too much, can that be detrimental to your heart health?
I would imagine that the science on that is going to be less clear, Because clearly there aren't huge swathes of people that are doing so much cycling that it might be so much it's detrimental to their heart. What I can say is that there have been a couple of studies done on Tour de France riders, one of which looked at a total of 830 ex-pros who did the Tour de France between the 30s and the 60s and found that they lived, on average, 17% longer than the average male from their home country in their own era.
So pretty good news then, yeah, you would think, and certainly good news for longevity, particularly given that the Tour de France was far more arduous in terms of hours on the bike each day back in those days.
It was arduous when I did it as well,
for some people, I guess.
I can tell you. Now, the higher VO2 max from all that cycling that people do will undoubtedly have helped in those riders' longevity, and it's here where pro cyclists probably show the biggest difference to an average human being.
Yeah, so in males, a good VO2 max for a 21 to 30-year-old is about 42 to 46. Now, if you want to be up there challenging for victory in a grand tour like the Tour de France, it's going to need to be almost twice that.
Crikey, that's quite a difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
Almost twice what's good for a normal person of that age. Moving on, the second benefit, preserving muscle mass.
Yeah, which might come as a surprise to many of you, given how slight a lot of cyclists look, but we're not exactly bulky, are we, as a species?
The species of cyclists. Yeah, we don't look hench, do we, generally?
Not really.
However, a study published on BMC musculoskeletal disorders.
Ooh, one of my favourites.
Nothing to do with BMC, the bike brand, I hasten to add on that
Yeah, I knew that.
Anyway, the study, which I was reading earlier, used MRI scans to assess two groups of middle-aged men, and it showed that the cyclist group had lower levels of intramuscular fat, so good for health, but also greater gluteal muscle mass than the physically inactive group.
Suggesting that cycling is effective in slowing the loss of muscle mass that's typically observed in an ageing population.
Well, you'd hope so, wouldn't you, compared to people that aren't doing much at all.
Yeah.
Another study, though, compared muscle mass of experienced master cyclists to that of moderately active youngsters under 30 years of age, and found that thigh muscle mass had been preserved in the master's cyclists.
There you go. What we couldn't find was any definitive conclusion as to whether cycling helps to build any muscle mass in the first place. Mm. It probably depends on how much you're doing, doesn't it?
So.
What type you're doing and what history you already have in the sport or sport in general. However, let me quickly point out, we are living, breathing proof that it clearly does build muscle mass.
We should probably point out for our podcast listeners, what you're missing out on is two really young, healthy-looking men with chiselled features and rippling biceps and pecs.
Yeah, I actually noticed a comment in the last week's show which actually described you as a stud.
Did it?
Yeah, I assumed it was sarcastic. Maybe not.
Thank you again. Sorry.
It's all right.
Number three then, disease prevention. So along with cardiovascular disease, cycling has also been shown to reduce the risk of getting diabetes and, in fact, half the risk of getting cancer.
I'd sign up for both of them.
You kind of already have signed up to both of those, I would say, mate, because you've never really stopped cycling, have you?
No.
It's a great thing.
That is true.
And one thing that we should point out before we move on to the potential negatives of cycling to your body, it can definitely improve your mental health.
Absolutely. Mind and body often referenced together, so I think we can squeeze this in.
And body, and there's also that saying, isn't there, a healthy body equals a healthy mind. Mm-hmm. As there are so many studies out there on this particular one, but one that I particularly like followed people, 400,000 of them, up in Scotland over a five-year period. What that study found was a 15% reduction in prescriptions for depression or anxiety amongst cycling commuters when compared to people that got to work as non-cyclists.
There you go. That is pretty significant, isn't it? Right. So where could we be going wrong, though, if we're focused only on cycling?
Bone density was what we found to be the big one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So cycling is a non-weight-bearing sport. And although there are some good parts to being non-weight-bearing, bone density is not one of them. So one study showed that Tour de France riders' bones were up to 17% less dense when compared to boxers and weightlifters.
That's interesting, isn't it? Mm. Whilst another study in Norway found that cyclists had a lower bone mineral density than endurance runners, even though they reported having done regular resistance training.
Which is also, I would say, really interesting.
Yeah.
Because I'd have thought that resistance training would build your bone mineral density up. So it's literally the pounding of the road of running, by the sounds of it, that helps maintain or even increase bone density versus resistance or strength training.
Yeah, potentially. They find the same thing in tennis. Don't they? The favoured tennis arm apparently has a bone density 10% higher
than
the other one. Yep.
Crikey. I'm going to get into ambidextrous tennis then, build up both.
You'd be unbeatable. It'd be like playing an octopus. So,
as your backhand, don't need one. Anyway, in all seriousness, adding just a little bit of running to your weekly schedule could be a really good idea because, as a lot of you will know, low bone density means you have a greater chance of bone fractures, and in some cases it can lead to osteopenia, which is a precursor to osteoporosis.
Yeah. Another negative to cycling, Dan, say, is posture. Again, you might be able to tell podcast listeners, I look like a soup spoon. It doesn't take a physiotherapy qualification to work it out, does it? That sitting hunched over on a bike is not necessarily a natural position for your body to be in, particularly in road cycling, where you're generally lower and longer as well.
And more aero.
Well, that's more the point, aero. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's worthwhile points to make, though, isn't it? I mean, if you're riding a hybrid bike, for example, to work and back on your commute, it's probably not going to be as bad for your posture as an aggressive road position that you use for a 100-mile century.
Yeah. I think it's an aesthetic thing, though, isn't it? Because we should say at this point that whilst it might not be good for your posture, rarely do cyclists get chronic injuries like you do in running. There are far fewer cases of, like, oh, I can't ride my bike at the moment because I've got Achilles tendonitis, shin splints, knee pain, hip pain, whatever else.
Yeah, I've got quad splints. right. Yeah, we do get quite a few broken collarbones, don't we? I've done both of mine.
Well, yeah, cyclists. Let's skip over collarbones and gravel rash, shall we? More in common with pro cyclists, although certainly not limited to them, but much like body fat or lack of, so again, talking mainly pro cyclists, but all cyclists to a certain extent, a lean body can be healthy, can't it? But only up to a point, because there are many, many cases of people getting obsessed about body weight to the detriment not only of their cycling performance and ability, but also, more importantly, their health.
Red S describes a syndrome of poor health and declining athletic performance that happens when people don't get enough fuel through food to support the energy demands of their daily lives and training. It is very easy to get obsessed with your weight as a cyclist, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is something that affects both men and women, but women might even also stop getting their period as well if it gets too extreme. Fortunately, we've got to say attitudes in pro cycling are changing, aren't they, towards this. Awareness, effectively, of the importance of fueling and carbohydrates is spreading, but it hasn't filtered down to everyone and everywhere yet, has it?
No, but it presumably will over the next months and years.
Should do,
yeah. It does. I guess the final part linked to this is a different question, isn't it, entirely? Does a cyclist's body look healthy?
Which I think depends on what world you live in. You know, by that I mean, for us, having grown up with cycling and around cyclists, it's always been perfectly normal, hasn't it, to see very lean physiques. And for that lean physique to suggest that someone's in peak condition.
Yeah, I guess if on the other hand you've grown up in around a different sport, like bodybuilding, let's say, then you're quite possibly going to look at the typical cyclist body and think to yourself, my goodness, that looks really unhealthy.
Yeah, but you should never judge a book by its cover.
No.
As they say, it's what's on the inside that counts, isn't it? And if you're cycling regularly, you're probably in a very good place health-wise, aren't you?
Especially compared to any sort of people that aren't doing anything at all.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
General members of the population. And that said, I do think we should all be doing a reasonable amount of strength and resistance training, particularly as we get older. And that's actually a topic I'm planning on covering in my series about getting fitter and healthier in my own life.
You just want a beach pod, don't you? For that final episode, the thumbnail, Dan looking chiselled, like a kind of David Hasselhoff.
I want a beach body and kinder Instagram comments. That's all I'm asking.
Well, that is actually another point, isn't it, right? So body dysmorphia, worrying about how your body or a part of it looks, is on the rise, isn't it? And it's particularly on the rise among young men as well as young women. And let's face it, a lot of it's down to social media. The crap that you get on there.
Yeah, and so whilst we were joking about the comments that I was getting on Instagram, amongst other social media channels last week, we are lucky enough to be quite happy with how we are.
Yeah, that's right. For the avoidance of any doubt, though, Dan, you look great, man.
Oh, cheers. Well, I've worked on my posture. Anyway, time for us to, or time for you to let us know your own experiences. Have you started to incorporate other exercise on top of your cycling to keep your body healthy? Or has cycling given you everything that you need in that particular regard?
Yeah, and do you think cycling body looks like a healthy body? Be very interested to hear as well. So get involved in the comment section down below.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and we're going to start with a quick recap from the Sea Otter Classic over in California.
What started out 33 years ago as a mountain bike race has grown to include races in every single discipline. Well, not every single one, apart from cyclocross, let's say. Plus, there's a massive bike show there as well.
Yeah, so I won the presenter arm wrestling contest. So I was the one who got to go out there. Who would have thought it, eh? Mm. But anyway, there has been a couple of videos out on GCN Tech already. Highlights from them include new, more affordable wheels from Vision, so the SC45 and the SC60, a new Pinarello mountain bike.
You raced on that, didn't you?
I did indeed, yeah. In the Lifetime GP of all races. That video is actually coming out on Saturday. I also got to try on the two new helmets that broke the internet when they were spotted a few weeks ago being used in the Pro Peloton. There's the POC Pro Scene Air Road Helmet and the Giro Aerohead TT Helmet. And we thought that now, seeing as we can actually witness them being modelled by the same person, we can actually judge objectively which one looks the coolest.
I wasn't expecting you to say the coolest.
Yeah, so go on then. Which one do you think is the coolest, Dan?
I did see them earlier. They're going to refrain from commenting on this. I might let the viewers decide on this.
Well, okay, go on then.
I mean, I don't want to hurt you. So you can get involved in the comments as viewers. But don't be nice. Don't be nice.
You trying to get me back for last week?
I definitely am, yes.
All right. Have your nipples made up yet, by the way?
God.
If you didn't watch
last week's show, you might need to watch that for context. Shall we move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Anything else from Sea Otter whilst you're over?
Well, a lot, actually, yeah. No, you will have to check out the tech vids. There's three up there now, actually. General themes, loads of cool stuff is always coming from smaller US brands. Brands like Five Dev, Wolf Tooth, people just into bikes and making cool stuff. In terms of bikes, all road. It's a big trend now, Dan. Yeah, so road bikes with the ability to run 40mm wide tyres. Yeah. They've been released left, right and centre from BMC and MV to Irish brand 51. They've got a new super light road bike that can fit 40s. But it did strike me, okay, that these bikes look great and everything, but they're basically just refined versions of gravel bikes from 5 years ago.
Mm.
It's funny how things work in cycles, isn't it?
Was that a deliberate? All right, badum-tish.
Yes, it was.
Some local news now. So bike theft was down by 15% in the UK last year.
Woo, that is great, isn't it?
It is great, unless you own an e-bike. Ooh. Because if you've got an e-bike, the number of thefts has gone up by 103%.
Ooh, that isn't great, is
it? No, not so good.
Staying in the UK for a brief moment, and in London, actually, to be exact, the Standard newspaper is reporting that police have handed out nearly 1,000 fines to red light jumping cyclists and advised another 8,000 in less than a year.
And this is all apparently on one junction.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Jumping red lights is probably not very smart to do, is it? Don't do it.
Absolutely not, no. Do you remember how earlier this year, by the way, we said that the UCI should ban stupid helmets and then they immediately announced a review. And then we also said that e-bikes should get faster and the UK government announced a review of e-bikes. Yeah, well, it's happened again.
No.
Yeah, after I got cross about a local bike lane being shut, even though the adjacent road and pavement are not, well, the bike lane's been reopened.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
High fives all round.
Yeah, totally.
A lot of people are feeling your pain, actually, in the comments.
They were.
I know Peter Whitson was one of them, although he is in Sydney,
saying
that cyclists have to walk up a set of stairs to get onto the Harbour Bridge, and a new ramp has been a decade in the making with a ton of local opposition. He also says it's the only point in his 25-kilometre commute where he has to get off and walk.
Yeah, and 1.2 many, I would say, Peter. Good luck getting the ramp.
Yeah. Let us know what you'd like us to campaign for next, because we've been very successful so far this year.
Yeah, we better stay clear of, like, major politics. I don't want to find the limit of...
Keep it humorous and light.
That's it, yeah.
In other news, we have actually almost sold out now of the GCN Editions jersey, I'm afraid.
Let me refresh your memory.
Which Si is going to rapidly go and fetch so that you can see what it looks like if you missed last week's show.
Normally, you only get to see this being modelled by Hank.
On the
it does actually look quite hench. This
it's pretty short, isn't it?
Look, GCN Edition number one. But yeah, as you said, Dan, we are almost literally sold out. I think we're on to the last handful of jerseys.
We are indeed. I was just about to say that. So there are a handful left. So be quick if you want to get your hands on one.
Yeah, and if you have missed out, there will be an edition 2 coming along quite soon.
Will be quite soon.
So actually, keep your eyes peeled for that, yeah.
Just finally then, time to announce the winners of our topic competition. The winner of the Pack Go X and the tune-up station is...
Mike Besant!
I'm actually very jealous of Mike. I'd love one of those bike boxes. Whilst the three winners of the tune-up station are...
Dave Jones, Jed Belcher and Rolf Lucas.
Very well done to all three of you. The prizes will be on their way soon, if they're not already. We'll have another giveaway for you very soon. It's very soon indeed, if I get my words out. Hack! /bodge of the week now, and we've actually got some viewer submissions because the uploader has been fixed. If you've got something that you would like to send us, you just have to go to upload.globalcyclingnetwork.com or globalcyclingnetwork.com/upload. Both links work.
Glad we got all bases covered, mate. We've not had an uploader for a few weeks, but now we've got two.
Yeah, no, there's probably more links that I could read out, but it'd be quite boring, wouldn't it? So let's crack on with what we've got this week. First one comes in from CD Dubs. Crazy train. Out on a ride with the kiddos on the local cycle path, one in the trailer behind my 1953 Indian, yes, they sold bicycles, and one on her Huffy. A couple of miles from home, my daughter decided it was too cold and she wanted to ride home in the trailer. That left me needing to figure out how to get the Huffy home, as leaving it was a no-go without tears. At first, I tried carrying it, but nearly crashed. Then I found that the wheel would fit in the storage compartment just far enough to get the axle lodged in the fabric of the trailer. And what do you know? But I rode all the way home that way.
Nice! There you go. I see what you mean by crazy train now. Mm. I like that. That's a hack, isn't it?
Yeah, hack from me as well.
I mean, like, the ultimate get yourself home hack. The thought of having, like, an upset, tantruming child and not being able to get them back gives me, like...
I'd love to have been that daughter. Imagine if you get fed up with riding and it's too cold and you just get into your own personal trailer.
Wasn't that what happened at Fleshwell On? This last week, everyone got really cold, then they climbed off into their own personal trailer whilst someone else took their bike home. Yep. To be fair, we probably shouldn't joke. Have you seen that footage of John Scalmers?
Yeah.
For those that haven't seen, it's on social media, but he's literally shivering so hard he can't walk.
Well, it was 2.5 degrees, and there was a combination of rain, sleet, snow, and quite high winds.
Oh,
and it came so suddenly, and at the same time as the race was on.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so people were sort of thinking to themselves, do I go back and get extra clothing and risk never seeing the front of this race again? Or do I stay put, hope I don't get too cold and that the rain stops? But it didn't stop, so a lot of people got very, very cold. Ooh. Lots of people with hypothermia.
Proper hypothermia?
Well, the symptoms of.
No way!
Yeah, anyway. That was neither a hack nor a bodge.
We know we've digressed there, haven't we? But the previous thing that we were talking about 10 minutes ago, that was a hack, wasn't it?
Yeah, we'll vote that hack.
Yeah, totally. Right, next up, we've got this one from Rock Creek Roubaix. Busted chainring bolts. Roughly 10 miles left on a 60-mile ride. My friend shifted down to the lower ring for a climb, and in doing so, the chainring bolts... All of them either broke or fell off. Oh, my God. We managed to find one bolt, and I had a zip tie. It was good enough to get us home. That is...
Power.
That is impressive.
That's a wattage bazooka, isn't it?
Power to shear all your chainring bolts. Not much power to get home with one bolt and a zip tie. But get you home, right?
But so I'm trying to figure out. I mean, for podcast viewers, it's not obvious where the chainring bolts on this particular crankset would normally
be. Well, it's an eastern crank, isn't it? So it's like an EC90. And I think the inner ring bolts onto the outer ring, maybe?
Presumably the outer ring is fixed to the crank, is it?
Yes.
Permanently.
So the outer ring, I think, fits on the spot.
So you just needed to stop the inner ring from rattling about, really.
Oh, I see. So they just stuck it in the big dog all the way home. Yeah. Right, fair enough. Well, it's still a hack from me. Anything that gets you home.
Maybe we should explain these things to each other before we start rolling, so that we don't have to ourselves whilst we're being recorded.
Well, it might help the viewers, ultimately, because some of them might be as slow as me.
It's another hack from us.
Yeah, definitely a hack. Go on then, Dan, what's next?
Ilde sent in a 3D printed climber for their trainer. Hold on a second, I've just gone down too far. Having some unused filament laying down.
Who has unused filament?
Not me.
Lying around.
I've designed and printed a modular front wheel riser larger than the original to accommodate for the shift in load on the wheel whilst inclined.
I suspect this might be an engineer.
Might be along the right lines there.
Yeah,
I think so.
Anyone with filament lying around and who writes like that.
A dovetail connection keeps the zero module together. The five module is for 5 degrees of inclination calculated on the wheelbase of my bike. I can go further until 20 degrees of inclination.
Crikey.
So now I can do my zone 2 training using the correct muscle group for climbing.
There you go. I mean, that is impressive, isn't it?
So this is wheel raises, as in not something that automatically pushes your wheel up and down for podcast listeners. It's sort of riser blocks that you stick under the front wheel for the correct...
A bit like gradient. A book, isn't it, basically?
Yeah.
It's basically like what I would...
Some of those yellow pages are just so thin these days, aren't they?
That's it.
You can't get the correct... You can't go above 2%.
Yeah, in years past, I would have just gone over to the shelf and picked out a couple of books. Mm. Do you know what I used to particularly like? You know my sort of like hatred of like... ex-dopers writing books. So I like to stick them under the front wheel so that when I sweat profusely, I can just watch as like Bjarne Riis's book is in a puddle of sweaty water. Yeah, Lance's was particularly good for that. And when I was doing hill reps, both of Lance's would go underneath, yeah. Anyway, no, I think that's a hack.
I mean,
it's one of those things that's sort of like, you don't need it, do you? But, you know, if you've got unused filament lying around...
Quite fit if you can do zone 2 training on climbs as well.
Well, that's a good point. That
hack, I think then just three double hacks so far.
Yeah, well, celebrating the uploader coming back, aren't we? This one comes from K Holmes 1000. Bike storage in the closet. My girlfriend didn't want bikes in the living room. Not surprised. I refused to store them in the apartment's bike storage. Not surprised. Had to find a way to hang them in the closet without taking up too much room. Now, I'm quite intrigued about this, Dan. Mm. I hung some clothesline from a hook with a small fabric loop at the end. The bikes get stood up on the back wheel and the loop goes around the head tube. The bikes hang under their own weight and are stabilised by the clothes around them.
Stabilised by the clothes around them.
I hope, for your sake, that you have some kind of protection around the bike so you don't get oily stains on your clothes. Because I suspect that might be worse than keeping it in the living room if you get out like a nice crisp white shirt from the wardrobe and you find
wherever you live, you're going to sometimes come in with a bike that's wet.
Well, surely. You'd think so. Well, and that one's a mountain bike.
I guess if you care more for your bike than your clothes, that's fine. Better than leave it in the outside storage, perhaps.
Well,
I'm still getting bodged though, I think, for that.
Are you?
I mean, well, there's a lot of potential for clothes washing and grease that won't come out.
Well, so you can't get it out, can you?
No.
No, everything would need to go in like a suit bag.
Surely you must be able to store those clothes somewhere else and just have that little... It's a tiny compartment, isn't it?
Yeah, all right.
Might be a very, very small apartment. I get that, but you must be able to hang... What is there? Five pieces
He's still going. He's still going.
still digging further and further. But it's five pieces of clothing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Roughly. 2.5 pieces either side of the front wheel. Anyway, I'm
You've
getting
totally triggered Dan on this one. You really have. I'm going to agree. Like, I am not the most presentable of people at the best of times, but even I...
You see, he's like, I forgot to bring a T-shirt in to wear on the show, and he found this scrunched up T-shirt, which he's now wearing. He sort of did a bit of that down on the desk upstairs, and well, that'll do.
Well, I didn't want to go to get to my locker and get the other one out, so yeah, anyway... Hey, check out my tan lines, by the way, from Seattle.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad, is it?
No.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, we digress.
Looks amazing.
Yeah. Thanks for podcast listeners. That's on my rippling biceps that we're referring to.
Well, it's even below the bicep because of the long jersey designs that they have these days.
They are quite cool, aren't they?
Down to your elbow.
Basically, yeah. Anyway, right, that's it for Hackle Boys this week. Please send them in because we love them and you love them. So let's get Hackle Boys back on track, shall we?
globalcyclingnetwork.com/upload or upload.globalcyclingnetwork.com. One of the two.
It's time now for caption competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle that actually is a GCN Camelback water bottle that looks like that. A thing of beauty. Still can't get enough of these.
They're great, aren't they?
Yeah. Although... I lost one.
No.
The weekend. Yeah, it bounced out of my bottle cage on the first descent. And I was like, I'm not going to stop and get it.
Imagine the person that found it.
I know.
Especially if they didn't know we've now got them. They're like, this is like gold dust.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, so anyway.
The first ever GCN Camelback water bottle.
Yeah, so if you found my water bottle on the first descent of the Fuego XL at Seattle Classic, please treasure it, okay? So yeah. Just give it a good clean and then you can use it, right? Anyway, oh, massively digressed there. What are we talking about? Caption competition. Right, so this was the photo we gave you last week. It's of Tom Pidcock getting a lick from his dog, who we said was a King Charles Spaniel.
Yeah, we were wrong.
We were wrong.
As Simon Wood Thriller Writer wrote in to tell us, down inside, Tom Pidcock has dashened the type of dog. Is that how you say it?
Dashing. I think it is, yeah.
I'm being corrected, I don't even know how to say it. You guys need to do your homework for the dogs in the peloton.
Yeah, we should.
We got the wrong breed. But the winner this week is Big Oak 66, who put Pidcock was mildly devastated to find out that upon winning the Amstel Gold, the kiss from King Charles wasn't fully as advertised.
Yeah, and we're going to give it to you, even though it's not a King Charles Spaniel, because we said it was. So that was good. I like that very much.
Yeah.
So yeah, get in touch and we'll get your GCN Camelback water bottle out to you. Dan, this week's image?
This week's image comes from Liège-Bastogne-Liège, the men's race on Sunday. Actually, if you're listening to this as a podcast, I would recommend just watching the video at some point when you get time, just to see this one image.
It's a classic, isn't it?
It's fantastic. Yeah, so this is Tom Schoinge on the right side of photo. He's actually been... I wrote to Tom's asking what was happening here.
Did you?
Got his number.
Humble brag.
Yeah, got his number. He said that Mathias Schelmose, his Danish champion teammate, gave him a load of clothes, said, just get rid of it. Which is exactly what he did. So he threw it to one side, but this picture captures it as it's just in front of the face of Ineos Grenadiers' Omar Fraile. The way that the picture makes it look is it's about to hit him in the face, but I understand.
Either that or Omar Fraile's like face has exploded into like a sea of...
Yes.
Danish colours. I mean, it really is like just a perfect moment captured.
It is, yeah. But apparently it landed with an FDJ Soigneur who later handed it back to Schelmose.
That's cool,
very
isn't
nice,
it?
Wasn't it? No, yeah. eBay tricks. Anyway, I'll get you started. So I get his clothes, I'll just do a bit of this, and abracadabra, you become Mathias Schelmose.
I mean,
doing it like this doesn't work for podcasting.
Yeah, I see where you've gone with that, mate.
I was thinking about something about being clotheslined.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with clotheslined.
Yeah, I genuinely couldn't. It was a cracking photo, but not one that I could think of a decent caption for personally.
Well, I'm that sure sounds like a challenge then. Yes, to you lot out there. Get involved in the comment section down below. We will pick the best one next week, and you will get a GCN Camelback water bottle.
We're going to start this section of the show with a few of our favourite comments, starting from underneath last week's GCN show. First up, this from John Glynn. Funniest thing I saw Forgotten's take on a ride. A guy took his bike out of the back of his estate car. He didn't have a front wheel. It was resting against his house wall.
What?
You'd be gutted, wouldn't
you? Well, you would. And then underneath, I saw Sarah Disco Dolly said, I forgot my front wheel for a race twice. So clearly it happens.
Well, maybe that's who John saw. You never know.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Probably does happen quite often, though, doesn't it?
Indeed.
John Strack rose in to say, I live in Grimsby, and the ban on cyclists in the pedestrian area here is targeted at yobs, for want of a better word, and not cyclists in general. It's an antisocial behaviour measure.
Yeah, so I wanted to include this one because I thought it was a really good point that illustrates that when you read a headline in a newspaper that's like, cycling banned from pedestrian areas... And it's very easy to feel a bit riled up, a bit triggered. And then I thought, well, actually, that's just a really sensible counterpoint, which is actually like, it's a pedestrian area, maybe you shouldn't cycle through there. And John was not the only person from Grimsby to write in. So, thank you very much. I thought that was a really good point.
Do you reckon our Canadian, Australian and American audience know what yobs are? Is that an English term?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a youth, isn't it? Slightly sort of like aggressive, rude boy youth.
Is it just for youths? A rude, noisy, and aggressive young person.
There you go.
So I was spot on. Anyway, moving on. The ad wheels right in and say, is Hank wearing a Strippagram police uniform? If so, is this a new GTN challenge for him? Or is he moonlighting? Or mooning, even?
Oh, Dan, Hank would love to be a Strippagram, wouldn't he?
I think it'd be his ideal job.
Yeah, although... That GCN show we did live last year at the festival where we made him wear speedos, he did get a bit self-conscious.
Well, he pretended to.
Yeah, you think he loved it secretly? Yeah. It was all an act.
Absolutely loving it. Absolutely loving it.
Oh,
Jonathan Vera wrote in to say, so I was having a field day at Dan's expense this week.
Yeah.
Really think that Dan should have brought up size ankles. I would have done if they weren't so blooming heavy.
it was nice to have a week off. have my ankles insulted. But anyway, there we go. Cool. And then just a couple more. Underneath the bike that the UCI banned, the Hotter, Simon Harris said, awesome video. I used to drive Simon Ask, who was the guy that designed, invented the Hotter, and Colin Lewis, who was one of Britain's original Tour de France pros. Mm. So they used to drive him crazy as a kid, drinking all their tea in their shop. Always remember that bike on the wall. I think I was loaned that Spinergy wheel for a national championships back when I was a junior. Yeah. Which I thought was quite cool. I think Simon Ask is one of those guys that has just helped out people for his whole time in cycling. Everyone's got a story about how cool he is.
It's amazing. Nice. Those people that really amazing. Their lives to helping others in cycling or anything, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, so we get on to what's coming up on the channel this week.
Go on, Em.
On Wednesday, how do I handle traffic when cycling? I mean, it's so important to learn that, isn't it? I think we, as most of the presenters here, kind of forget, don't you? Because when you join a club as a youngster, you just through osmosis learn, but you get told quite a few things as well. But when you just pick up cycling a bit later in life, obviously most people know the rules of the road from a driving point of view, but it can be difficult to get your head around what you need to do and be aware of on a bike, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
The traffic.
And also what you do and don't need to be scared of, right? Mm. Well, you don't need to be scared of anything. That doesn't really help. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that thing about like, well, you don't need to feel anxious about this because of this, that and the other.
Yeah.
Anyway,
on Thursday, does caffeine make you faster?
Maybe. Bit of GCN does science there.
Once you've got comfortable around the handling of traffic, grab a few espressos, fly through it.
Yeah, that's right. On Friday, what do you need to go bike packing? We haven't got the Gentle Tent bike trailer in that one, unfortunately. Mm. Didn't get delivered on time.
Right.
We also couldn't afford the €3,700 that it costs.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Maybe we get trade price, 3,000.
Yeah, well, let's ask, shall we? Yeah. Just in case. Whether you can fit a Connor in it, I don't know. And it is his video. On Saturday, that aforementioned video from the Lifetime Grand Prix at Sea Otter Classic. So I lined up alongside, I can't even say it with a straight face, alongside Keegan Swenson, Lachlan Morton, et al. Yeah. And, well, you can see how I got on. No spoilers. And then on Sunday, another GCN Does Science one, actually, spinning versus grinding. So we concocted a new experiment to do, to basically test that theory about whether or not spinning does save your legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Check that one out on Sunday.
Look forward to watching all of those.
Indeed, yeah.
That brings us to the end of episode 589 of the GCN Show.
Crikey.
It'll be the big 600 before we know it, won't it?
Well, it actually will, won't it? Well, we didn't do that much for the 500th, did we?
No.
So I suspect the 600th will come and go.
We're just saving the big stuff for the 1,000th, aren't we? When will that be?
I don't know. You'd be too old to party by then.
No.
Too healthy to party by then.
One of the two.
This is going to take minutes off my life. I'm not going to have
one of the two. Anyway, hope you enjoyed episode 589. We'll see you again next week.